John was an outsider. He didn't come from the house of the emperor, the governor, any governmental leader. He was Zechariah and Elizabeth's child, and he did have a priestly lineage. It was on both parents' side, from Abijah and Aaron. But actually, neither one of those were power players in the priestly arenas. And John wasn't part of any power system. He was a complete outsider. And he lived in the wilderness. He was not aware of how things were supposed to be, of how things worked, of how to get things done, how to work within a system. And he came, this outsider from the wilderness, preaching in a different way. He wasn't preaching about power or fame or keeping your nose clean and fitting in. The way John preached was about getting ready for the one who would put everything back in order. John preached about turning away from sin, and he preached about all of humanity taking a different path. So John, this outsider, the one who ate bugs for lunch and wore camel's hair, he really was about peace and justice and equality, and he wasn't about violence or saber-rattling or inflammatory rhetoric. That's what people expected an outsider and a revolutionary to be about. We are going to change things. And some still twist John's words and twist really all of Christianity as a call to arms and a call to turn government into a giant church where only the ideas of the most Christian need apply. So I wonder, do we still hear John's words sometimes as a call to arms? Do we hear his words as a call to war against the powers that surround us? Or can we focus on turning away from sin and turning towards God? That was John's message there. John was calling for everyone to see what was coming. And what was coming was deliverance and safety and life-changing good news. And John wasn't the one who was bringing all that. I mean, he was bringing the news of it, but there was another that was coming. John was announcing that. John was preparing the way for Jesus. And when Jesus arrived, he didn't go on the attack. He didn't issue a call to arms. Jesus didn't instigate war against the powers that surround us. But that's what people expected him to be. Because if you were going to be a revolutionary, if you were going to change things, you were going to do it with the sword. Jesus didn't do that. He called on the whole world to turn away from sin and to turn towards God, just like John had done. Neither one of them issued a call to turn away from justice and towards power. And neither one of them issued a call to turn away from humility and towards vitriol. Neither one issued a call to turn away from peace and towards war. That just seems to be what we like to do. Even if we don't think that we're doing it, that seems to be our path, this human path, completely different from the path that John and Jesus laid out. I know it's no secret that I am opposed to war. I'm in good stead with the Christian community. Not all people in the Christian community believe that, but I am opposed to war for any reason. I'm opposed to the saber rattling that comes leading up to war. I'm opposed to inflammatory words and vitriolic language when it comes to any issue because they're warlike words, warlike rhetoric. So not just war, but standing there and drawing a line in the sand and saying, cross this line and I'm going to do something violent to you. That seems to be the way of the world now. And I do lament that any service people are deployed to face and to be a part of violence in the name of peace. I wish it never had to happen. And I also recognize that things aren't as simple as, well, there must be no violence. I would like that, and that's my stand. I want there to be no violence. But I know it's not that simple. It's also not as simple as there must be more troops, because more troops will handle everything. Or just try to send in more troops and we'll cut off your funding. Threats, violence, vitriolic rhetoric. Catchphrases and knee-jerk reactions to difficult situations are what cause escalating and continuing trouble and violence. We bring it on. They are what incite people to do horrible things. They are the things that people use to terrorize. And difficult situations, difficult Bible passages need some space. They do. They need to be able to breathe. Difficult situations, difficult Bible passages need contemplation, discussion, and reflection. The rabbis of Jesus' time and in the Old Testament knew that. And they would get together and they would chew on these things and they would disagree, but they would talk and talk and they would have this midrash where they didn't always come down to the same agreement at all. They also didn't scream at each other. It's a beautiful thing to hear Rabbi this says this and Rabbi this says this, and which one will you follow? Not if you follow this one, you are evil, and if you follow this one, you are good. It didn't work that way. It was too easy when John and Jesus walked the earth to expect a violent and powerful king to come and take over. And it's too easy, actually, to read this morning's Bible reading and see violence and powerful soldiers coming to fill every valley, make every mountain and hill low, and to make every crooked path straight. What you hear sometimes. And that's how Christianity and others have twisted this passage, taken that and said, look, it's a violence. It's too easy to define everything as good and bad, left or right, Christian, unchristian. And it's all too easy to bend the Bible so that it fits our own agenda. If you start with, this is what I think, you can find a Bible passage to somehow support your position. You really can. Remember this. John wasn't communicating this biblical worldview or whatever that means, because you hear people on all sides say something like that. John was communicating these truths. And this is what's coming. Deliverance, safety, and life-changing good news. So I want to read through this morning's reading again. And let's hear it. Let's hear it as a people who expect God's life-changing good news for all. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Advent's continuing. It's here, whether we're ready for it or not, and Christmas is coming, whether we're going to be ready for it or not. We can still prepare. We can prepare with peace and love hope, and justice. Let's continue to get ready. Amen.